The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is sponsored by Klaviyo. If you're working around the clock to build your e-commerce business, you need an e-commerce specific marketing platform that works just as hard as you do. That means you need Klaviyo. With Klaviyo, you'll delight customers and drive revenue at the same time with personalized email and SMS marketing campaigns that you can design and send in minutes without an IT degree. It's by far the most popular email marketing tool in our private community of 7- and 8-figure e-commerce store owners because it's got incredibly advanced and powerful segmentation features that help you make more money. To get started for free and to learn more, check them out at klaviyo.com/ECF. That's klaviyo.com/ECF. The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by One Click Upsell, the most popular, largest upsell app in the Shopify marketplace, trusted by over 11,000 users, over 1,900 of those big spending Shopify Plus stores, and they've generated over $200 million in revenue for the merchants that use them. And you may be thinking, oh, hey, Andrew, I've heard of One Click Upsell. I know these guys, but do you really? Do you know what they've rolled out recently? They've got some cool new stuff for their pre-purchase and their post-purchase upsells. You can now select from multiple different offers to present your customers. So instead of having them just have to pick from one single thing, you can give them the option to pick from multiple upsells, which helps and has proven to increase the number of people who actually take you up on those upsells. So if you're not using upsells in your store, it's an amazingly easy, fast way to increase your average order value and your revenues. So check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Hey, it's Andrew, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, joined by a good friend of the show, a good friend personally, Mike Jackness from Ecom Crew, from IceWraps.com, many other businesses, and recent business partner of mine and Bill DeLisandro's, did an episode on this a while back. And we're talking about his transition into buying a business and managing it and being the CEO of it post-acquisition. Sounds easy, right? Like buy a business, just swoop in, fix all the problems, and make a boatload of money. Like most things, it's a little harder than it ends up being harder than it looks. And so we talk about that process, how that went, some of the key moments in that. But we also talk about he's looking for a replacement for him as the CEO of that business. So we get into that, who we're looking for, the roles and responsibilities, why it might be a good fit. So if that sounds interesting, working with Mike, I think you'll like this one. And even if you're not looking for a new gig, hopefully you'll get a few insights as well. So let's go ahead and jump in to my discussion with Mike on what it's been like to jump in and who he's looking to bring on board. Mr. Jackness, good to have you back, sir.
It's been a while. How's it going, Andrew?
It's going well. Thanks, man. I'm excited to talk. And we're going to talk all sorts of like business running CEO kind of nitty gritty in the trenches stuff. But I gotta ask you about something. I've heard through the grapevine that you're not willing to play David Bryant in tennis, despite after totally setting him up and stealing some of his money many years ago in a tennis bet. Is this true? I heard you baited him into betting big on tennis when you were playing a bunch, and he may have lost, and now he wants a rematch, and you won't give it to him. What's the deal?
Well, I mean, I have this thing, like this one thing I can hold over him. And it's like, why would I give that up? I mean, he holds like me buying these flashlights that he's like, never, don't buy these flashlights. It's going to be like the worst thing ever. And he holds that over me and I can't correct that. So like, I figure like this is like the one thing. I beat you 6-0, 6-0, giving you 15 points a game. And I know that he's going to do better than that this time because he's been taking lessons for the last year, like trying to get back. I mean, why would I give him that opportunity? I don't know if I should have given that satisfaction.
All right. So moral of the lesson is if you ever bet with Mr. Jackness, part of the bet needs to include a retribution clause where if you lose, you have the right to re-challenge for the same amount.
But that goes both ways because like I'll want the retribution as well. So
If anyone would want to come back, you're one of the most competitive people I know.
I still owe you one, by the way. You've maybe forgotten about it because it's been a while, but I still got to get back at you. We'll be working on that. Every time I try, like no one's ever willing to play ball with me. Like I've tried your mom, your wife, I got to go one step. Like these people are too close to you. They, Maybe your brother or sister, they seem to be pretty competitive. They might want to get back at you.
With, man, I sure hope my mom and my wife wouldn't stab me in the back when you came to them.
I thought your mom was going to, like, I was like, I was talking to your mom because your mom's always like talking about how you were such a tough kid. And I was like, you know, this is a chance to get back at him for like all that heartburn he put you through as a kid.
And she's and
like,
when you, no, when you say, yeah, when you say tough kid, what she means is not like, oh, he was super ripped and like people like, you know, like she means like I was the bane of her existence for 18 years.
Right. The reason that your mom has lots of gray hair is because of you, kind of. She's just like, yeah, he was always, I was getting calls from the principal. I was getting calls from like the neighbors or, you know, whatever. He was always in trouble and coming home late. Yeah. It was pretty funny. But she, at the end, she's like, he's my son. I can't let you get one over on him.
She's like, I took him down to the adoption agency like 5 times and I just couldn't do it. Like I just got right. there and I couldn't push him out of the car. I had right. to come back home.
Yeah.
He's my son.
He's my son.
Oh man. Anyway, sorry, I had to give you a hard time about this, but David, hopefully I'll do my, thank you, mom. Thank you, Annie, for not stabbing.
I was really close to having, I was going to surprise Dave when he lands next week and play him, but now that's not going to happen.
So business, man, I'm excited to dive into this because we'll link it back to some past episodes. We, over the last year, have kind of partnered up myself, some ECF Capital investors, and Bill D'Alessandro to buy a company. And you have kind of you've come in as the manager, the CEO of it, and really worked to improve this. And yeah, excited to talk about that because we thought it would be fun to talk about what that has looked like, how that process has worked for you, what's been easier than expected, harder than expected, the process. And then also we're looking, or you were looking rather, I make it sound like I'm doing all the work here. You're doing all the work here. You're looking as the manager to hire someone to kind of step in and replace you. And so we're going to talk about what that would look like. And potentially that might be a cool opportunity for someone. So can you give, we have at ECF Live this coming year, we're going to do a real open session or would love to about the deal, about the company, be very transparent for our members. Can't talk about it too candidly, just given the investors and some of the other aspects of the deal. But that being said, can you give kind of a high level overview of the business? What kind of niche is it in? The breakdown of channels? Give people a sense of what type of business this is, if you would, Mike.
Yeah, it's a mostly predominantly Amazon FBA business. We have grown the website part, which I'm excited about. And I have a background in SEO and just kind of an affinity towards having my own Shopify store and feel like it was worth the investment there to grow it. And now that it's starting to pay off, I'm pretty excited about that. It's a home decor business and it's not super defensible, which is why we've kind of kept on the down low a little bit, you know, just being quite frank. It's a great business nonetheless. There is some defensibility to it and there's some uniqueness to it. Again, some of the things we just can't really disclose in a podcast, which I know both you and I hate because we're typically open books, but we got to be careful here. But you know, it's been great. You know, it's worked out about as good as I could hope. I'm excited to see what the future brings. I mean, we've been launching a lot of new products, working hard on the website stuff, working on developing some partnerships and stuff, changing our sourcing, a bunch of stuff we'll talk about today. But it's been an interesting ride so far.
Yeah, and it's got a warehouse in the United States with a team of maybe 4 or 5 people. Yeah, so the stuff comes in, there's a lot of like packaging and things that happen at the warehouse, gets sent off to FBA and also fulfills to the website there. Team of 6 folks. There's a manager on the ground in the warehouse and you kind of came in. What was it like for you what was it like stepping in? Because you kind of came in and you were running the business, this business you kind of inherited. And what did that look like the first month or two in terms of time on the ground, the challenges? What was easier than you thought? What was harder than you thought? What was that first, you know, especially 6 weeks like post-close?
Yeah, I'm not sure anything was easier than I thought. It was all definitely in the harder than I thought camp.
It doesn't work like that? I thought it usually worked like that.
No, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think that all of us entrepreneurs have a tendency to overvalue yourself a little bit and think you're better than you probably really are in real life. And even though I don't feel like a big ego type person, I think that in the back of your mind, that's always going to be part of the case. And so there were definitely some things where I just thought that I would absorb it quicker and learn it quicker than I did. But when you're learning about a niche that you like know almost nothing about going into, and there's hundreds of SKUs, all with like these cryptic part numbers that don't make a whole lot of sense. And then just trying to understand you know, how all these previous decisions that had been made and why things were, you know, the way that they are. It was definitely very overwhelming, without a doubt. I mean, big reason why I wanted to physically be there. So we drove across the country in the middle of the pandemic to get out there instead of flying and taking a chance of, because, you know, you had to be careful about infecting anybody at the warehouse, because then like the whole business is shut down. So it's like all these like crazy things going on in my mind. And then at the same time, you know, take away all the business components. Like, I'm a very sensitive person in terms of treating other people like I like to be treated.
Except for David on the bet, right?
Of course, except for David or you, obviously. Or me. Yeah. Or your mom now, because of what I just talked about. So, you know,
let's keep my mom out of this. Okay. All right. Let's keep my mom out of this. Watch it. You're getting close.
I'm getting close to trouble. Okay. You might get turned off the microphone. And, but in all seriousness, I mean, like, I think that this is something else that entrepreneurs often forget. You know, they're wrapped up in their deal and their money making aspirations or whatever, and think of the people component as some sort of pawn or something that isn't as important as I think that it is. And, you know, again, just trying to think from their perspective, you can give all the propaganda that you want of like, this is going to be a good thing for you. Don't worry about anything. Your job's still here, but be realistic. Like if you were an employee and someone came in telling you all this, you're going to be worried, right? And people are worried about their job, their livelihood, paying rent. Again, in the middle of a pandemic, wasn't necessarily the easiest time to go maybe try to find another job. And so I was very, very sensitive to that as well, and tried to do my best to spend time with these people, let them know that I was a real person, try to take them out to lunch every day, you know, get to know them as best as I could, take every opportunity when they had a concern to listen to them, whether I thought that they were right or not, you know, just really push the envelope in terms of trying to make sure that they understood that their feedback was being listened to. Which was tough, because a lot of that was like, we don't think we can handle this additional volume, or we don't think we can do this, that, or the other things that I really wanted to see happen, and slowly won their trust. But that was difficult, because, you know, you're trying to thread two needles, right? You're trying to keep those people happy while also trying to impress you and Bill and grow the business. So that part was quite interesting, definitely stressful.
Would you say, and I think I know the answer to this, but just confirming, would you say, because you've got the strategic side, you have the people side of the business, you've got this team of half a dozen people that you're getting to know and understand, and their strengths and their weaknesses, and getting them on board with the new plan, because there's very much a new plan, a growth plan to try to make the most of what we could with the business. And then you've got, of course, the technical side, the Amazon side, the sourcing, all the non-people side. Pretty safe to say that the people side was the hardest part of dropping into this business and trying to grow it and improve it and make it better?
Yeah, I think that's right. At least to begin with, right? And, you know, so my goal was to change as little as possible in like month one, knowing that there were certain things that had to be changed, right? So you write down a list of things like, okay, this has to happen. Like we had to switch to FedEx, as a for instance, from UPS, because we got significantly better rates from FedEx when using Bill's account. Like one small little thing, right? So you have to start writing this list down. We had to change to that. We decided that we wanted to be on Shopify and not the old platform that the old owner was on, because as an organization, like, we're just all Shopify. And I feel like long-term Shopify was going to be something we're going to change, and trying to stay on this old platform and then migrate later when it was going to be a bigger accounting and operational headache was going to be a challenge. And so there was a list of a few things that kind of made this, we have to change them. And I kind of went into, in a way, being as transparent as possible, as like, these are the things we have to change. We're not going to, like, you don't want to make it seem like everything in their life is going to get turned upside down. And, you know, this new person's coming in and they're just going to be like the Tasmanian devil and turn everything upside down. And so it was a very delicate balance, very, very delicate balance from both the technical and the people side. But I feel like by the time I left there at the end of February, that we were on a good path. You know, I had spent a significant amount of time with these people. I was there helping myself in every way that I could to make sure that every, you know, little snag that kind of came up was being addressed in real time, and that, you know, I stopped what I was doing to listen to them and got over that hump, and you know, it's been good since then.
What do you think? So you went, you've been there, I think, three times. You said the first time you were there for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. You've been back a couple of times since then. But you are not on the ground day to day at the business. There's a manager there. Largely, you have, you know, been managing the whole team there, kind of being the CEO from remotely, from afar. And that's, I think that sounds great, right? Like when people think, oh, hey, I'm going to buy a business. I'll just, a good manager, I'll put them in place and I'll kind of check in occasionally. But I think realistically, more often than not, that has the chance to just go off the rails really quickly. Trying to be an absentee, and I don't say this derogatorily because you're doing a great job, but just being a removed owner is just prone with landmines, right? So, and it's worked relatively well in your case. So what do you think, what kind of things have you done, or what would you attribute to that working well? Obviously, there's a great kind of on the ground manager that was in place for many years coming in. So that gave all of us and yourself, I'm sure, a level of comfort. But what do you think were the key components to making that work? Because I think that's not a given.
Man, if there was any one number one stress point that I had going into it, it was this, and probably ongoing stress point, although things are great. Our relationship with this person is amazing right now, but you just never know. I don't want to have to move to North Carolina. And I was like, in the back of my mind, absolute possibility, even to today. Like, it's just, I know that if for some reason this person just like had to leave for what, you know, whatever it might be, that I would end up being in North Carolina helping find a replacement and running things until you found them. And this type of person is not easy to find and train. You know, so we were, you know, went into it with the premise of, you know, because we trusted the old owner that she had a really good person in place to deal with this. And everything has panned out in the way that she said it would. I mean, this person does a great job managing the office. I think that she was incredibly stressed when I first came in there, just because, again, it's something new. But, you know, she has settled in. We have a great working relationship. And I don't know that things could possibly be going better from that regard at this point.
So would it be that thing that's allowed it to work? Would it just be the manager there? What other things, what kind of things have you done in terms of talking with the team? Like, what's your kind of daily, or not daily, but kind of weekly involvement with the team? Like, how are you managing? Any tips or thoughts for managing a team remotely that has allowed you to do a good job with us?
Before getting into this business, I mean, it was something that was pretty comfortable with already. I mean, we had basically been working as a remote team since 2019 exclusively, like before pandemics and all this other stuff. That's kind of the thing we decided to do. And so as of right now, we have 27 full-time people in the Philippines. And then we also have this remote office in North Carolina. You know, I think communication's key. We have a Slack channel. We meet weekly. We found the time that is inconvenient to everybody, but like works for everybody that works across three different time zones, you know, East Coast, West Coast, and Filipino. So like all of us are in a meeting at least once a week to discuss, you know, all challenges or, you know, things that need to be answered at least once a week. I mean, we obviously talk more than that, but we're all there in one spot to deal with that, which really makes a big difference. Another thing I'm a huge proponent of is the traction model. And so like basically this entire year has been laid out since January. You know, we didn't necessarily reveal the full plan to everybody like all at once, as we didn't want to overwhelm everybody, but we've been working from a plan that hasn't really changed much at all since January. And certainly at this point, everyone is completely aware of what the plan is for the year. And we're going to pretty soon here be laying out all the details for next year. And so it allows us to work in these quarterly bite-sized chunks, and things do get tweaked here and there, but you know, everyone kind of knows what we're marching towards, you know, for growth and what's coming down the pipeline. And you know, so there's no like massive, like overwhelming new mindset from like week to week or month to month. You know, it's just we're operating from a very consistent protocol, which, you know, and people get, you know, gain trust over time. And so we've had now 10 months to gain this trust and be continuing to follow this plan. And people know that we're not going to like throw them curveballs when something gets too tough and we, you know, overly aggressively like put together a goal or something, we listen. It's like, okay, we can't, you know, for instance, like this quarter, they're like, I just don't think we can launch 13 products, Mike, you know, which is basically a product a week. We can do 10. Okay. Well, I mean, I'd rather have done 13, but like, if it makes everybody happy and we're still marching towards where we want to get and do 10, you know, it's something we'll listen to. And so we do our best to listen, but it didn't change. It isn't like I decided, okay, now we're going to do 26 products instead of 13. You know, we let people know what the goalposts are and try to keep them there. And so I think that that really helps when you have a remote team, because like it allows people to kind of do their thing. You continue to keep communication strong, and it's produced great results and it's worked well.
Hey, it's Andrew here with a quick aside. And you obviously love e-commerce. You're interested in that. And so I wanted to make sure you're aware of the private community we have at E-Commerce Fuel for 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brand owners. And it's something we've been building for close to a decade now with over 1,100 members across the globe. And our secret sauce, like the name implies, is that everyone inside has deep experience doing this with an owner mindset. And so what does that mean? It means you get, when you log into our form, you get fast, on-point answers to your most pressing questions, regardless of whether that's you're negotiating a new lease for a warehouse, or maybe you're negotiating with UPS or USPS or FedEx about shipping rates or pickup times, or potentially you're just looking to find a great outsourcer, or wondering if you can even outsource your content. Is that something anyone has had success with? You can tap into this huge knowledge and brain trust across the globe and get answers within hours, sometimes even minutes. So it's an incredibly active forum with experienced people. You get to plug into an amazing network worldwide. A lot of our members, when they travel, if they touch down in Dallas or Sydney or London or Bozeman, Montana or whatever it is, oftentimes they'll reach out to other ECF members, you know, obviously a little harder to do potentially right now, but and see if, you know, they want to get together for a beer to connect and just, and oftentimes get to know a new friend. So it's an amazing network, as well as invites to our member-only events like ECF Live, which is our annual summit gathering for about 200 people. And then finally, the intelligence in our community just that's shared helps you avoid making really costly hiring and software mistakes. So our members write reviews on what they're using, their software tools, their agencies, completely unbiased, completely from their own experience. And so you can avoid making that, you know, hiring that agency that's an absolute nightmare, but you don't know about it. Or you can hone in on the one that actually does a really good job. It saves you a ton of time and money from bad hiring and software decisions. So if any of this sounds interesting, head on over to ecommercefuel.com and you can learn more about the community, what's included, and apply for membership as well. All right, let's go ahead and jump back in to the discussion. And so when we originally looked at this deal, part of the thesis was buy the company, have you come in, manage the transition, kind of get it on a great trajectory, and then after a year, be able to kind of bring on a different CEO to run that. And we're kind of at that spot. So you're in this transition period where you're looking for someone, you're looking for a protege, right, to be able to come in and take your place. And looking for, let me describe who I think the person is and their attributes and fill in the gaps, or correct me if I'm wrong, but looking for someone that's used to working with a lot of autonomy, definitely has been in e-commerce before, ideally in a managerial position, managing a team. We're looking for someone that kind of the plan too is to be able to run this for, this isn't something we're probably going to hold for the next 10 years, probably a very good chance we're going to sell it within the next one, you know, probably 18 to 24 months-ish ballpark, 1 to 2 years. Someone who's able to get on site, just like you were for a period of time, but also can work remotely once that kind of rapport and track record and experience, on the ground experience, is kind of embedded. Yeah, is that a fairly, what else could you add to that in terms of someone we're looking to bring on in terms of attributes and strengths and experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty dead on. I mean, I think what it isn't, or what it maybe was the difference, is, you know, on day one when I came into this business, I had a laundry list of things I thought I would tweak and do and be the levers we were going to pull to produce the results that we wanted, which is basically our goal was to sell the thing within about 3 years and when we bought it. And so I think it takes someone with a lot of experience to go in and pick the things you're going to do, develop the plan, and start executing. And so we don't need someone that's going to go change all that, right? I mean, like the plan's kind of in place. We know what we want to do, but the hard work still has to be done. And so someone that can be on top of that and certainly be a protege, I mean, the idea would be that we would be working in conjunction probably for at least a quarter, you know, like as a part of the handoff, where, you know, every day or several times a week, we'd be talking and discussing what that plan is and just understanding, you know, learning as much as they can from me about just my e-commerce expertise. And but then really just kind of executing that plan, making sure that we continue adding the content that we want to the website and understanding why and how that fits in, the recruiting influencers and the way that we want to recruit influencers, adding a new product per week, which is, you know, we haven't identified like all of next year's products yet. We haven't identified most of next year's products yet. So like being able to do that with autonomy, and certainly, you know, I'll still be there with, you know, to answer questions indefinitely, because I have a personal interest in this business as well. You know, I invested alongside everybody else. So, but, you know, you don't need to go into it with a bunch of stress of like, I got to figure out how to do all, you know, all the what I just mentioned and more, because it's really just trying to check the boxes off at this point. I feel like we're in this business is in a really good spot. It's going to be handed over in a really good spot. By the way, we inherited it in a really good spot. I mean, we got lucky to find an amazing owner who took, you know, made an amazing business and handed us off something that was absolutely amazing, you know, and just basically time is your biggest benefit, you know, to a lot of this stuff. You got, you know, when you're launching new products, you don't have instant success, that you got to let them mature, get reviews and get sales and get traction. And a lot of our stuff is heading up and to the right. And we just need to let all that stuff mature while continuing to add to that. And that's really what we're hoping to find someone that can do. So it's, I think if I was going to write up the resume or the job description, I should say, I mean, I think it's someone probably with 1 to 3 years of e-commerce experience that's looking to grow, that's probably has aspirations to do their own thing at some point down the road, but is happy to almost have like an apprenticeship in the meantime that's a little bit more than that. And I mean, I can just tell you firsthand, as much as experience as I think that I've had in e-commerce from doing this for the last 7 years, just being around you and Bill, you know, for the last year as we've done this has been a huge learning opportunity for me. Cause I mean, you guys come into this with a bunch of experience that I just don't have from like your finance background and running bigger and better, more interesting e-commerce companies than I've ever run, especially in Bill's case. And so, you know, being around these types of people are important to help you continue to grow. And I hope to be able to pay that forward to someone else just as much as you guys have done that for me.
So in terms of why someone listening should apply, you know, the perks, get to, you know, they get to work with you, of course, they get to work with Bill. I'm a fairly large liability, but 2 out of 3 isn't bad. So you get to really work closely with this team, as well as some of the ECF Capital investors. It's a great group of people. So that there's that part of it. Learning experience is huge, you know, of course, coming in, you've got a lot of responsibility, a lot of opportunity to grow. Comp-based performance, you know, when this would be set up in terms of salary, looking for probably, you know, like probably looking for the right person to pay 100 to 120K. Obviously, that's ballpark. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but plus benefits and then the potential for definitely some nice incentive bonus based on how things go. And looking for, you know, something where you can come in, get some experience, but you don't necessarily have to commit to do this for, you know, the obligation and the expectation is not coming in and, hey, you're going to be here for 5 years. It's, you know, come in and learn a lot and grow and get some great experience and connect with the crew here. And, you know, it's probably a 2 year plus or minus window. So yeah, so those are some of the perks. Anything I missed on there, you think, Mike?
I think probably the other big perk is it's like the opportunity to be an entrepreneur without the risk, right? I mean, like, we've taken a lot of risk buying this business, right? As entrepreneurs or starting a new business, millions of dollars in this case for this particular business. So being able to come in and have the upside without having to necessarily risk your family's or your personal financial well-being, but having the upside of when we exit based on the performance that you've done, having that plus all the experience you gain, I think can be invaluable. And it's a big resume builder as well. I mean, I think that if this goes well, I mean, again, it's you and me and Bill who all have pretty large audiences and resources, plus all the other ECF Capital investors, which added up have way more influence in the e-commerce community than we do. And so I think that it's just a good spot to be in. Like, I mean, it's a bunch of really good people that you get, as you already mentioned. I think the other big perk there is you don't have to pay to sign up to do this versus, you know, I wrote a 6-figure check. I know you did too, to come in into this deal. So, which has worked out great. I mean, it's been probably one of the best investments I wouldn't say ever made, but certainly one of the best investments I made in the last few years.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned earlier 1 to 3 years of e-commerce experience. I think the right candidate definitely could do that. But I think if somebody's listening and they have, you know, if they have 3, 4, 5 years of e-commerce experience and this sounds interesting, if you have more experience than that, that definitely is not a, you know, that's great. So I think fair to say that's minimum, but I mean, the more experience, the better, especially if it sounds like a great opportunity to you. So
I mean, I don't want someone who's so green that like they never logged into an Amazon account, right? We don't have enough time to train from that level. But you know, if you have some basic, if you understand all the basic terms and you're motivated, even less experience in a year is a possibility, right? Just, I mean, it has to be that we're on the, like, we're speaking the same language. You know, you've had enough experience that we can talk on the same language and have it happen quickly. Because again, I mean, a quarter goes by relatively quickly, and that's the transition time that we're trying to stick with.
Yeah. And of course, the more Amazon experience you have, the better, because this is, you know, it's an Amazon heavy business here. So yeah. Well, great. Well, if they listen to this and they're like, man, this sounds fantastic. Sign me up. The best way to get in touch is to reach out to you directly. Your email address is mike@terran.com. That's M-I-K-E at T as in Tom, E-R-R-A, N as in Nancy.com. What do you want people to do when they reach out to you? Do you videos, writing a cover letter, telling you their three favorite life experiences? What should they put in that email?
I'm going to leave it ambiguous, because if you, as the person out there listening, don't know how to get someone's attention and impress us, then it's probably not the right fit for you. So this is where the autonomy comes in. Figure out a way to impress me and let's make it happen. I look forward to working with you, whoever you are.
And any kind of timeline in terms of when people can apply by?
Yeah, I mean, I'd really like to have this person hired by the end of October, ideally. I'm not sure exactly when this podcast is going out, but sooner the better. I mean, certainly we're on a timeline of, like I said, we're trying to have someone in place that's fully running the business by next year. I want plenty of opportunity to train them and work with them. And again, this is not a magic trick where I'm just going to disappear on a certain date and you've got to like do everything on your own. Like, again, we all have a vested interest in this. And so, but at the same time, I think you and Bill and myself are interested in potentially the next thing that we're looking at doing. There's plenty of opportunities out there. And I feel like we might have, at least the first deal that we've done is working out well. And maybe we've found something here, you know, that's hard to find, which is a bunch of people that work well together and all have their own strengths. And hopefully it can be a repeatable rinse and repeat process that we do. And maybe there'll be another one of these podcasts a year from now for the next business we get into.
Yeah, it would be very cool. And this is airing, of course, October 15th of 2021. So you got a couple of weeks here to figure out how to impress Mr. Jackness in the email and reach out. So again, mike@terran.com. Mike, hey, I just got to say, man, thanks so much for, I know you've put a ton of your time, sweat, blood, tears into this business over the last 9 months. You've done an awesome job. Yeah, thank you. You've been, man, it's been, you know, you always hear of horror stories of business partners, and I think it's good to go in, you know, it's good to go in carefully to these things. So, but you've made it real pleasure and easy. And yeah, thanks for all the hard work and all the progress you've made on this business, man. It's been really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's a two-way street. And so for those of you out there that are thinking of ECF Capital as a potential, I mean, I guess it's an advertisement for that as well, because I mean, I've done other deals where like I've been in a similar position or something, and the people that you get involved in are just nightmares. And so, I mean, it's you and Bill and everyone else has just been as amazing as possible. I mean, like I really, you know, I get asked about this all the time because it was awkward for me coming into a situation like this. I've done nothing but be like the fully autonomous entrepreneur for since 2004 without anything to answer to or ask, you know, but it like, I mean, in a lot of ways, I think it's been as beneficial as it possibly could, because it pushes you to have someone to talk to and not, you know, you don't want to embarrass yourself in front of your peers. Right. So like it's pushed me, given me motivation where, you know, sometimes it's hard to continue to have that for decades at a time. So again, been a two-way street. I can't thank you enough as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. It's been fun. And ECF Capital, if you are a business that is really, there's so much money sloshing around right now, and we are at the moment, probably just given the level of activity we've had, we've done three deals this year, probably not looking to do any, start diving into any until probably Q1 at the earliest of next year, but always good to potentially have conversations early. So if you're looking for smart money that has e-commerce experience, our investor group has, you know, some unholy amount of, you know, probably over 100 years of e-commerce experience. So money that actually can give you strategic guidance on the e-commerce front, as opposed to just write checks. And you're especially a business, it's been funny kind of this evolving over, not evolving, but kind of seeing where the sweet spot is for what makes sense for our group. I think that's probably, you know, in the low 5 million and below, ideally, I think probably, you know, a couple million and below even, but definitely have some traction. So let's call it between, you know, 250K on the very lowest side $2 to $3 million. I think that's the home run park with repeat business. Our dream list is that revenue range, repeat business, ideally off Amazon. Despite this business, there are some kind of exceptions, extenuating circumstances that made this a little more interesting, but generally investing in businesses that aren't primarily Amazon businesses and have margins, gross margins of, 50 to 60% plus. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. So ecommercefuel.com/capital. If that sounds like a interesting conversation to have, reach out and would love to talk with you. So Mike, so excited to see who applies, who joins. It's been a lot of fun. And yeah, man, thanks as always. I really appreciate everything you've done for us and looking forward to seeing what comes of this.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks so much for listening. And the fact that you made it to the end of the episode tells me you're probably somewhat interested in this stuff and might be a really good fit for the e-commerce fuel community. Our community is the world's largest group of 7- and 8-figure e-commerce store owners and offers a value-packed form, dynamic live events, and much more. If that sounds interesting at all, you should learn about membership and how to apply at ecommercefuel.com. Big thank you to our two sponsors. Supercharge your email marketing efforts with Klaviyo, the world's best email and SMS marketing engine at klaviyo.com/ECF. And also one-click upsell from Zipify Apps, where you can rapidly increase your average order value by offering powerful targeted upsells. You can get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Finally, thanks to Sherelle Torrecampo for helping produce the show. Work hard, adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network live from New York.